So we're going to read Nehemiah 12. It'll be verses 27 to 43, just a section. We'll read all of it together, and then we will kind of break it down. So here we go, Nehemiah 12, verses 27 to 43. At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, the Levites were sought out from where they lived and were brought to Jerusalem to celebrate joyfully the dedication with songs of thanksgiving and with the music of cymbals, harps, and lyres. The musicians also were brought together from the region around Jerusalem, from the villages of the Nephilites, from Beth Gilgal, and from the area of Geba and Azmaveth. For the musicians had built villages for themselves around Jerusalem. When the priests and Levites had purified themselves ceremonially, they purified the people, the gates, and the wall. I had the leaders of Judah go up on top of the wall. I also assigned two large choirs to give thanks. One was to proceed on top of the wall to the right toward the dung gate. Hoshaiah and half the leaders of Judah followed them, along with Azariah, Ezra, Meshullam, Judah, Benjamin, Shemaiah, Jeremiah, as well as some of the priests with trumpets, and also Zechariah, son of Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micaiah, the son of Zakur, the son of Asaph, and his associates, Shemaiah, Azarel, Milai, Gelai, Mei, Nethanel, Judah, and Hanani, with musical instruments prescribed by David, the man of God. Ezra, the teacher of the law, led the procession. At the fountain gate, they continued directly up the steps of the city of David on the ascent to the wall and passed above the site of David's palace to the water gate on the east. The second choir proceeded in the opposite direction. I followed them on top of the wall together with half the people, past the Tower of the Ovens to the broad wall, over the gate of Ephraim, to the Jeshna gate, the fish gate, the Tower of Hananel, and the Tower of the Hundred as far as the sheep gate. At the gate of the guard, they stopped. The two choirs that gave thanks then took their places in the house of God. So did I, together with half the officials as well as the priests. Eliakim, Messiah, Miniamin, Micaiah, Eliani, Zechariah, and Hanani with their trumpets. And also Messiah, Shemaiah, Eleazar, Uzai, Jehoanan, Malchijah, Elamin, and Ezer. The choir sang under the direction of Jezrehiah. And on that day they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. The women and children also rejoiced. The sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. So we have the celebration, and man, this is gonna be a rager. They are bringing everybody out. The Levites were sought out to joyfully celebrate the dedication of the wall with cymbals, with harps, with lyres. These were like the big loud instruments they had. They brought out other instruments and other musicians as well. And then it says the priests and the Levites purified themselves, the people, the gates, and the wall, all as part of the dedication. And purification was an act of restoration, of bringing something back to its right status. Somebody would be known as ceremonially purified if they had broken a purity law and became ceremonially unclean. They would go through the purification to restore their own purity, but then it restored them to their community, so they were right standing with their community. So in this story, not just the people were being purified, but the wall and the gates. It's all being restored and made clean to honor and please God, the way God wants it. This is all part of the celebration. Then there's this big, long section about the choirs that were formed, how they moved, how they sang. They had different routes they took. Some think maybe these routes were actually similar to when Nehemiah went out and he scouted the temple when it was in the wall when it was in ruins. We're not sure. But there was great care that went into the celebration. It was planned because it mattered. And in the end, it says they offered sacrifices because God gave them great joy. Sacrifice was our brick that last week. We talked about sacrifice and how important that is. But verse 43 says that they offered sacrifices because God gave them great joy. They sacrificed for him to honor that they celebrated all God had done in the rebuild of the wall and inside the city with the rebuild of his people. Celebration. That's what we're going to talk about. So what do we celebrate? What has God done? Where has God brought us? What have we come through with God leading the way? It takes looking back. If we go to our story of Nehemiah, look back. It all started with Nehemiah super distressed. He mourned. He fasted. Right? Then it started with a city that had no protection, no real guidance, no real structure. But now we have a new wall for protection and structure. There are now systems and renewed internal beliefs to protect the people inside. It's been renewed. It's been restored. Celebrate the restoration. Some of the guys who we went last night to the Ford Madison game at Bree Stevens Field. Okay, Bree Stevens is got a really cool history because actually this year they're celebrating the 100th anniversary of Bree Stevens. The stadium opened in 1926, actually as a baseball stadium. And then in the 30s, the famous stone walls were built around it that you still see on them. And then in 1982, it started a restoration process, which made it into a soccer stadium as it is now. It's hosted concerts, markets, soccer, ultimate frisbee. And the process, the restoration continued. Now it's a great place to go for a game, and some of the players call it a fortress because the fans are so great there. But it wouldn't have gotten there without being restored. Psalm 23:3 says, "He refreshes my soul. He guides me along right paths for his namesake." God refreshes or restores our soul. Your soul, that deep down part of you. You ever felt a time where your soul just felt empty? Where you feel like it's longing for something because it's missing something? Or maybe it hurts. Maybe it's anxious. Maybe it's stressed. God restores our soul. It's not meant to be empty, hurting, or anxious, or in pain. And God's consistent and constant presence in our lives restores our soul. It sets our souls back to how they're supposed to be. A soul that's full, that is steady, and that is strong because of the presence of God. So we celebrate that God restores our soul. And God restores us in other ways too, and that includes our health. Our health. Jeremiah 30:17 says, "But I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord." God will restore our health and heal our wounds. Start with our spiritual health. Right? And this can tie into the idea of restoring our souls, but even more. He'll restore your spiritual health. If something happened to you while following God, man, it just didn't go right, and that hurts you spiritually. Or if you were hurt by a church, a pastor, or a Christian, as you navigate the hurt and the pain of that, God restores your spiritual health. God works to restore mental health. Right? I'm a big mental health advocate. Being aware and dealing with mental health is important. And maybe you need to see a professional counselor or therapist or take medication on with all that. But keep God involved in that restoration and healing as well. God gave us our minds and he will help restore them as well. The things we think about, the stress we feel, God restores. And then our physical health. Pray and ask God for physical healing. Yes, go to the doctor, take your medicine, exercise, and do your physical therapy, occupational therapy, all of it. But do pray about it. Invite God into it. God gave us the body. He will restore physical health as well. The restoration of us, spiritually, mentally, physically, will come. Here's the really hard part that we can't get away from. It doesn't always come right here and right now. It may not come until we're with Jesus for eternity. We are promised restoration, but we're not assured of it coming right now today. And I know that's not my favorite part. It might not be yours either, but we know it's coming. I encourage you to take hope in the fact that it will come in Jesus. And we celebrate that restoration. And we celebrate joy. Verse 43 of the passage, we talked about it. God gave them great joy. They accepted and chose that joy that God gave them no matter the outside circumstance. No matter that outside circumstance. Let's do a little mental illustration for a second. Imagine going to a store and you're going to pick a checkout lane. Now, we got to go way back to the ancient times before all the self-checkouts. So you got to pick a checker. And inevitably, you're going to try to pick the one that you're going to get through fastest, right? You got the one eyed up, shortest line, right? But inevitably, you get there, and the person in front of you has got 17 coupons. They need them scanned. They're checking their receipt, and it's taking 6 times as long as it should have. Here's the thing. You don't choose that circumstance, but we can choose our attitude in that. We can choose, no matter what's going on in front of us, around us, or behind us, we choose the attitude we have. Just like no matter what is going on in life, we can choose the joy of the Lord. We have that joy to choose every day, and we should celebrate the joy of the Lord. If we choose joy, we actually have joy before we even begin to celebrate. Joy isn't something that just happens to us. It's something God gives us that we have to choose to accept. It's choosing to believe that God is good no matter the circumstance. It's having a steadfast confidence in the absolute goodness of God. That's choosing joy, choosing the goodness of God. Knowing and believing that in the bad experiences, God is still good. Knowing and believing that in the world, when people do bad things, which happens, God is still good. When I was a young kid going to church camps, they got our attention by the counselor yelling, "God is good." And then you had to respond all the time. And then all the time, "God is good." It plays right here. God is good. In a world full of variables and uncertainties, God's goodness is constant and it's a sure thing. He has a plan and a purpose for his kingdom. And he's working things out that we can't see and we might not ever see come to fruition. But his goodness means he's acting how he has promised to act, working things out for his good. God cannot backtrack on his promises. He can't do it. Broken promises let us down. Broken promises hurt. God can't do it. He doesn't break a promise, and that's part of his goodness. Choosing joy is knowing we are loved by God. We got his goodness, but now we are loved by God. Romans 8, 38 to 39 says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate us from the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are loved in all your successes when you're absolutely out there killing it. You're loved in the failures when things don't go how you wanted them to go. You're loved when your life is perfectly put together with a nice bow around it. And yes, you are loved in the beauty of your mess, because that's what life feels like sometimes. You are loved as you are, as you strive to grow closer to God and follow him more fully in your life. You are loved as you struggle and fall, but get back up to follow Jesus again and again. You are loved in all that. Remember that. Choosing joy is believing you are loved by a loving, gracious, and compassionate God. Celebrate that you're loved by God. That's not selfish. That's awesome. Celebrate that you are indeed loved by God. Celebrate the joy that that brings. And then celebrate the joy of peace. Now, celebrate and joy might not be words that invoke the idea of peace, but it totally plays here. Because peace is what we have in Jesus. Take joy in that peace. Remember, joy being holding also to that goodness of God. We have something to hold to that is steady and not dependent on what's going on around us, on our circumstances. So much of life feels dependent on what's going on around us, on our circumstances. But God's peace is not. God's peace supersedes our circumstances. It doesn't mean life and circumstance won't be difficult, won't be chaotic, won't be unpredictable. But it does mean we have the peace and calm of God. When I get rattled, God doesn't. When I get thrown off, God doesn't. He's full of peace and calm. Choosing God's joy is choosing that peace. So celebrate the joy that the peace of God brings. And celebrate God's strength. The wall around Jerusalem does not get rebuilt without the strength of God. Nehemiah and the people faced opposition. They faced threats. They faced challenges outside and inside. The people thought about quitting. We read about that. But they didn't quit, and the wall got rebuilt. They had to change some structures, some systems for the people so they weren't being hurt. God's strength got them through all of those challenges. Celebrate the strength of God that we have. Isaiah 40, 29, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. His strength carries us. There are times when what we need from God and what we will get from God and what he will do from us is to just pick us up, carry us over, around, or through something. Because we just need to be picked up because we can't do it ourselves. Some of the funniest video memes that are out there on social media are, there's a dad that gets on a treadmill and the caption is, "Dad's training for Disney World." And then there's one where they're just walking and they got one kid, normal carry. They got both kids, double carry, right? And then you got one where it's like parade view, so they're up on the shoulders and they're still walking. Then you got one where the kid's crying on the shoulder. That's sad view because the favorite princess wasn't there. Then you got one under the arm and he's starting to run because that kid needs to go pee. Then you got both kids dead tired. Then he's starting to run because wifey forgot her phone back at the hotel. And then you got another one where he's sprinting because the baby girl forgot their favorite stuffy. Right? Dad's getting ready, getting his strength ready to carry the kids. God may pick us up and carry us in any one of those forms if that's what we need. Whether it's from pain, exhaustion, stress, busyness, from the fact we're just not ready or prepared. Celebrate that the strength of God picks us up and carries us. Sometimes that's what we need. But the other one, when God uses his strength, sometimes it isn't to carry us, but it's just to pick us up and let us stand. God gives us the strength to stand. I think this is the one modeled by Nehemiah. He stood in the face of opposition. He stood in the face of lies. We heard about these guys, Sanballat and Tobiah, earlier, that spread lies about him, said bad things about him. He stood in the face of the internal struggles of the city. God gave him the strength to stand. See, God gives the strength not just to survive, but to stand and thrive. Standing means being able to endure and take on what's there. But also what standing means is allow us to look around and see what's going on. Standing on the strength of God is not being shaken by lies and temptations or by threats and opposition, but also looking around and seeing what God is doing all around you. The things you didn't see before, the things you didn't expect, the things you didn't think possible. God giving you the strength to stand allows you to better see him for all that he's doing. We just have to be willing to stand on his strength and open our eyes and look around and see him. He's there. Just take a look. See God showing his might and his power and his truth where it's needed. See God showing his mercy and his grace where you didn't expect it to be and you don't know if you could offer it, but God can. Strength gives us a more full and clear picture and understanding of who God is. So rely and stand on the strength of God and celebrate that we have that strength. So we celebrate. How do we do it, though? How do we celebrate God? As a whole, we're really good at celebrating, I think. We celebrate birthdays. We celebrate weddings. We celebrate accomplishments, anniversaries, graduations, promotions. You guys all talk about things you like to celebrate. We can celebrate anything. That's awesome. Celebrate away. How do we celebrate what God has done? And no, we do not have to throw God a party every week with cupcakes and banners and ribbons. I say this now as Julie's in with the kids because she would fight me on that. We don't have to. Yeah, I know. I'm going to hear about this one. That's fine. No, you can. Go ahead. She's under order. She only gets to order balloons like twice a year anymore. So we've had that conversation. How do we celebrate God? First one is community. Community. We celebrate God by getting together. The gospel message is something that brings people together no matter our differences. It's one of the big reasons we take communion every week. In a world that directly or indirectly divides people on any issue or topic, the gospel should bring people together. So what better way to celebrate God than to come together and recognize that we're brought together in the unity of Christ? Celebrate all the things God has done. Celebrate his restoration, his joy, and his strength by getting together and representing the full body of Christ. Talk about what God has done with each other. Share it. Let it be known. But do it together. So we celebrate God by representing what he is building, his kingdom, his church that's built on him right here on earth. And then we celebrate by offering God our praise and thanksgiving. Psalm 104, enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Praise is celebrating God for who he is. Speaking it, singing it, praying it, honoring God with how you live your life. God, you are the strength. I see you as my strength. God, I see how you've restored my area of this life. It felt like ruins. It felt worn or beat down. And God, you brought it back. We're praising God for being the peace in my life. God, peace that I don't understand. Peace I can't explain. But man, God, I feel that peace when I need it. And we praise God for that. Or praise God that he's our joy. God, that I know whatever happens to me today or tomorrow, I know I have eternity with you. God, you gave me that hope in the future. And I praise you for that. Thanksgiving. One of the best ways to celebrate what God has done for you is simply by saying thank you. Thank God for what he's done. Saying thank you is recognizing that whatever God did, he did it through you. You may have played a role. You may have played a part. And you were obedient. You were faithful. And that makes God happy. God values that. God is pleased by that. God smiles at that. But God did it through you. Say thank you. And I want to encourage all of us. Maybe it's a challenge to us to thank God in a really meaningful way. Not just say, hey, God, thanks for doing that. I'm glad you did it. It was super dope. I'm going to go on with my day. But thank God in a way that's really meaningful. Humble yourself before God and thank him. I mean, if you're a writer, write it. If you're an artist, draw it, paint it. If you're a musician, music, whatever you are, make it meaningful. Be as personal as you can and thank God. That's a way of celebrating. And then we can build on what's already been done. A way to celebrate what God has done is to realize he's not done. He's going to keep going, and he wants you to go with him. God's not done. Celebrate the fact that he works and he builds and he heals and that he keeps going and does it again. So celebrate him by continuing to be a part of God, bringing and building his kingdom right here on earth. We've talked about before how like we're all very much a part of what God is doing in the world individually and as a church. Continue to be a part of that. Continue to follow God. Continue to listen to God and spend time with him. Share God. Share God with others and what he's been in your life. That's celebrating God, and it's continuing his work right here. Play a part or a role for God in whatever way he's called you to do so. And know that whatever part or role that is, it's valuable and meaningful to God. And it will have an impact for him whether we see it or not. That's a way of celebrating God. Remember, celebration, it's a brick that God builds his church on. We'll wrap up with this. Celebrating's fun. So let's use the idea of celebrating to build our lives as followers of Jesus and build his church. Celebrate the restoration we have experienced and are promised to experience. The restoration of our souls. God fills our soul if they're empty. The restoration of our health and our pain. God restores us spiritually, mentally, physically. Even if that restoration doesn't happen right here and now, we are promised restoration and new life for eternity with Jesus. And celebrate the joy we have in God. Joy is a choice. We choose to take that joy and have it. We choose joy by remembering God's goodness, knowing and believing we are loved by him and holding to his peace when life is crazy and chaotic. And celebrate the strength of God. We need the strength of God. Sometimes we need him to just pick us up and carry us, throw us over the shoulder and just get us through whatever is going. Sometimes we need the strength for him to just put us there and say, you can stand and I will help you stand in the face of this, to endure it, but then also to see what he's doing all around us. Celebrate that, and then live out the celebration through being in community, through praise and thanksgiving, and through continuing to build upon what God has already done. Celebrate God and all he's done and all he's going to do. God did it. Celebrate it. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this morning that we can come here. God, we can hear about this celebration of the dedication of the wall. And God, I pray that we would celebrate you in our lives. God, in whatever way that works for us, God, but we would celebrate you and what you've done, that we would look back and see how you've restored us, how you've brought us to where we are, and how you're continuing to lead us. So God, I pray that you would help us to celebrate, to see your goodness, to see the joy, to see that we're loved. God, and to take your strength and stand on it. God, I pray that we would just celebrate all that you are, and I thank you for all that you are in our lives. In your name.